Translation: like the air passing through different types of atmosphere, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although appearing sometimes as a human being and sometimes as a lower animal, is always transcendental. Because he is above the modes of nature, he is unaffected by higher and lower forms. Purport by Svangai Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of all material nature. Mayad yakshena prakriti suyate satracharam. Therefore, being the supreme controller of the laws of nature, the Lord cannot be under their influence. An example is given in this regard. An example given in this regard is that although the wind blows through many places, the air is not affected by the qualities of these places. Although the air sometimes carries the odor of a filthy place, the air has nothing to do with such a place. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being all good and all auspicious, is never affected by the material qualities like an ordinary living entity. Purusha prakritisto hi punkte prakritan gunam. Bhagavad Gita 13:21 or 22. When the living entity is in the material nature, he is affected by its qualities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, is not affected. Disrespectfully, one who does not know this considers the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Godhead an ordinary living being. Avjananandi mamudha parambhavam ajanataha. Such a conclusion is reached by the unintelligent because they are unaware of the transcendental qualities of the Lord. End of purport. Omagyan, dimandasya gyanam gyanasrakaya. Chakshulamitam tasmai sri guruve namah. Namo Vishnu Buddhaya Krishna Parishtaya Bhutare Simhati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namani. Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Bacharine Nevishesha Shandavari Pasitari Satari. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation again. Like the air passing through different types of atmosphere, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although appearing sometimes as a human being and sometimes as a lower animal, is always transcendental. Because he is above the material modes of nature, he is unaffected by higher or lower forms. This chapter is entitled Matsya, the Lord's Fish Incarnation. As we know, the Lord takes many, many incarnations, many different forms. Prabhupada mentions that they are like waves of the river. So many incarnations. But generally we know the ten famous incarnations, beginning with Matsya, Karma, Prahana, Shinga, etc. So we see in that the Lord is taking many different species, a body of different species, as well as human-like, or his own-like. The human is human being is in the made in the form of God's original form. Two arms, two legs, one head, two eyes, etc. but although he's accepting the form of a fish, a wonderful fish, one shouldn't think that it's any way inferior, or he's taking the form of a boar, a pig, which is not such a in society not recognized as such a noble birth. But he's completely unaffected by it. Of course, because as Paul mentions here in the Bhagavad Gita, that this material energy of mine, it works under my direction. It's my energy, And it works under my direction. So for Krishna, there's no difference between matter and spirit, because they're both his energies, and they act according to the way he desires. So if he wants matter to act as spirit, it will act as spirit. And if he wants spirit to act as matter, it acts as matter. Initially, everything is spirit anyway. But where did this material energy come from? It's just a transformation of the spiritual energy. Krishna desires his energy to act in a different way. So therefore it's called material energy. But he's not affected one bit by that, because it's working under his direction. It is subordinate to his will. Of course, generally the Lord directly doesn't manage the material energy, because he has so many other servants to manage it. 33 crores servants who do the managing, and then he has other energies, assistants like Yogamaya, who also have, like us, have independence, but they haven't misused their independence, and so they also make programs for gods to arrange for the Lord's pleasure to fulfill his desires and his wishes. So whether you say he comes and accepts a material body, or he has a spiritual body, it doesn't make any difference as far as Krishna is concerned. We're in a fix because we've accepted or forced to accept a material body by our on account of our previous activities and desires. Then we're offered a body suitable to fulfill those desires according to our worth. So here we find ourselves in this particular body that we have. And as Krishna mentions there, as it mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada mentioned this section, the Bhagavad Gita, how the living entity is placed into the particular body. Poor little soul is placed into this huge body of material energy. And he has to go, just has to go along with the whatever body he has. Prabhupada says, if you're in the body of a dog, then you think and act like a dog. If you're in the body of a human being, then you think and act like a human being. You just have to go along with it. neither you're the dog nor the human being. You're the poor little soul who's bewildered and lost his actual memory inside this body, and just being driven by the modes of nature, which Krishna says is working under my direction. The modes of nature are working under my direction. And according to our association with the particular modes of nature, then we develop a particular type of body. And that body is awarded by material energy, which apparently goes on like clockwork, or automatically under divine arrangement of Krishna as a super soul. And so here we find ourselves right now in a human body. And everyone is, Krishna says, although I'm doing everything, I'm arranging all this material energy and arranging all these different types of bodies, 8,400,000, and placing the living entities into the particular bodies that they deserve, I'm not responsible for their happiness and distress. That they're responsible for. They are responsible for their own particular body. Because we don't have choice of body. I mean, in one sense, we don't have choice of body. But the bodies are already fixed. The 8,400,000 are already fixed. That's the rule. And then your place into one of those by superior arrangement, but that one is just suitable for our particular mentality and our rectification or our enjoyment as we so desire. So that's really nothing to do with us. That's done by the Lord. But he's actually not responsible, because the rule is, according to your activities and mentality, that particular body you will have waiting for you. So he's not responsible. And within that body, that it says a living entity, he's traveling through the material energy, forced to act through the material energy. You're forced because of desire. Then we're forced to act. And we're experiencing happiness and distress in our journey through the material energy, as long as the body lasts. And then we change it, get another one. So that happiness and distress is not due to it's not artificial, it's not Krishna's arrangement, that's due to our desires. So we're experiencing in according to what body you have, then the senses will be different. In some bodies you like some things, in another body you won't like those things. But it's us who's making the choice and the decisions in life, although we have a limited choice, a limited space. But we're actually responsible, because we're making the choices. Everyone is acting for their own improvement, because the material energy, as Krishna says, it's uncomfortable, it's miserable. That's Krishna's opinion. And so in that, we find ourselves in an uncomfortable position as a spirit soul. We're eternally free, full of bliss, full of knowledge. But we're not experiencing that now. So we're a little disappointed in our subconsciousness. We're always searching for that. You see, in every species, at least the moving species of life, everyone is acting for their self-improvement, because no one's satisfied with their particular state of existence right now, because it's not very comfortable, as we experience. Every 6 hours you have to eat, otherwise you suffer. So it's and every 12 hours or so, 24 hours you have to, 12 hours or 18 hours you have to sleep. And then all the other things that you have to do, eating, sleeping, trying to enjoy and defending. You're forced to do those things, otherwise what's the point of living? But the point is pleasure, the one aspect, but the eating, sleeping and defending, they're forced upon us. We have no choice. And in the gross material life, then we try to make those things nice. We might try to make eating, sleeping, enjoying and defending very sophisticated, very nice, and then we think we'll be happy. But like, because we're actually forced to do them, we have no choice. So it's an imposition, it's actually a punishment that we have to do those things. We have to spend all the time for those things. But we're taking we're trying to make the punishment into a form of, we're trying to make it very nice. You paint, you have an iron shackle, an iron ball shackled to your feet, and you paint it nice colors and polish it. But it doesn't really solve the problem, but people don't actually know what the problem is. They think that the purpose of existence is for our enjoyment. Purpose of creation is enjoyment, no doubt, because Krishna expands for his enjoyment. But the purpose of existence is enjoyment, but it's not our enjoyment. The real purpose is Krishna's enjoyment. And when we're acting in that with that mentality, that I'm acting for Krishna's pleasure, then one is perfectly situated, because that's the constitution of the living entity. God is one, he becomes many for his pleasure. So everything is supposed to be giving the Lord pleasure. That's it. That's the natural constitution. So when we have that mentality, then we're naturally seated. Then you'll be free from any anxieties. And not only that, that is the topmost pleasurable position. Because there you'll be naturally situated by our very nature. We're made of ananda. And that ananda is experienced fully to the fullest degrees in relationship with Krishna, in relation with service to Krishna. But forgetting that, being covered, because we had some other idea, then Krishna's arranged that we come here, and the first thing he do is takes away remembrance who we are. First covering is avidya, ignorance. So then your first identity is, you know, you wake up one fine morning, you're in a body, and what body is this? And you start to learn what the body's about, and how it moves, and how it operates, and you start to walk, and you start to talk, and you start. Then you become the body. And then this is a receptacle where I can get all my experiences through these senses. So then we set about trying to move the material energy in such a way that will be to our best advantage. Trying to control the situation here. Although we're actually controlled, we pushed helplessly on through this material energy for as long as the body is destined to last, and then it's taken away. The body drops away, then we have to take a new one, and again and again and again, this is samsara. So there's no lasting satisfaction in the material world, and it's designed like that, so that eventually we'll become frustrated and say, God help me, please. We realize we're in a very dangerous predicament. Then we give up trying to control, and then surrender to Krishna, because actually it's under his control. And then it's very easy, because he'll do all the work for us, but the living entity himself cannot control, because we're nothing to do with this material energy. We're the Tattvashakti, we're actually spiritual. It's an alien atmosphere that we've been placed in, and we have no control over it whatsoever. Krishna says, it's my energy, it works and moves under my direction. But we're thinking, when I do something, I can move things. and then I get the result, the experience of that. So we're conditioned into thinking that we are the doers. We are the control, but then we can act in certain ways, and then there's an experience of relief, and there's an experience of pleasure. That's our experience. But actually, it's not a fact. The experience is a fact. The experience is real. But the living entity actually doesn't move the material energy. That's moved by higher living entities under the direction of Krishna. But they think, the living entity, bewildered, conditioned soul, Bhagavad Gita, thinks himself the doer of activities, where in fact all the activities are carried out by the modes of nature. But it's so finely tuned, both software and hardware, that we think we're the doers. That's how we said about playing God, the controller and the enjoyer. That's what we're doing. Nothing else, right? There's nothing else that's going on, unless we're sleeping, trying to control our life so that we can enjoy it. So that's Krishna's position. He is the controller and he is the enjoyer. But we've taken on his mentality, this Purusha Bhava, and we think that we can do it. So this is called Maya, and this is what keeps us in the material world. So when we see another living entity, great living entity, we put the same conception upon them, just like Krishna. Krishna says is the fools, Mudha, the Abhijan. When these foolish people, they deride me when I descend in a human form, they think I'm one of them. And obviously it's quite natural. If you met Krishna on the street, how would you know he's actually God? it's very bewildering. He looks and acts like he's just an ordinary person. And according to your... and if you have no faith in him, then he'll be exactly like an ordinary person. Even if you met him face to face, not for you, because you're devotees and we're always anxious to look for Krishna and serve Krishna and love Krishna, then he would have to reveal a different, something more. But for those that are inimical or envious, then, you know, that's what they think I am. I'll reciprocate. They think I'm an ordinary person, I'll be an ordinary person. And that's what they get, that's what they see. But those who recognize Krishna for what he is, at least to whatever degree of understanding we can, then Krishna reciprocates like that. So therefore, if we love Krishna, then Krishna will reciprocate in love with us. And if we surrender to Krishna, Krishna will surrender unto us. Such a wonderful person. But whatever particular form he takes, he's still that exact same person. He's not bewildered, and he's not controlled. It's going exactly how he's planned it, or his devotees planned it, like Yogamaya. So these incarnations are coming on time, coming and going on time, exactly as the Lord plans. And they're here. He appears in all this wonderful variety and performs wonderful activities simply to attract our attention to him. Simply to realize how great the Lord is. Huh? First we have to recognize how the Lord's greatness. Because initially, we are from ground zero, we're envious of Krishna. We want to take his position. So first of all, we have to recognize he's greater than us. And how great he is, that will have to come later. But first we recognize that he's greater than us. This is surrender, surrendering the false ego. And then gradually as we hear about Krishna from the proper authorities, like the Srimad Bhagavatam and the devotees, then we begin to appreciate Krishna's greatness. And then we become like God-fearing, as they say in these parts of the world. God-fearing means we'll fear to displease the Lord. That would be the first aspect. That's why they, in the scriptures, they will overemphasize the suffering in hell, just to make me fearful of, oh, if I don't follow, then I'll suffer so much, I'll go to hell. So then I better follow, although there's no desire to follow or attraction there. So that's working on that's the negative side. If I don't follow, what will happen to me? And the positive side, of course, is you know, the super excellence of Krishna and his pastimes and the spiritual world. That's the attracting side. So therefore, or even the heavenly planets, you see, there's an overplay on the pleasures of the heavenly planets, and an overplay on the sufferings of hell, just to make us follow. But we're following because of our own interest, because if I don't follow, I suffer. If I do follow, I will enjoy in heaven. So this is what we are dealing with in the beginning of our awakening to reality. But at least from that point of the point of religion, one becomes religious. At least one is accepting someone greater, accepting some authority above him oneself, and one is agreeing to follow. So that's a great step forward for the conditioned living soul. It's a great thing to do for the false ego. But still, it's for my, I'm doing it for my improvement. I can't do it. I've tried so many ways myself. I'm not satisfied. Let me go to God for my, let him do it. We've heard that he can do everything and everything. Let him do it for me. But still, we're still using him in this level of God consciousness as the order supplier. So at least, but first we have to understand how great he is, because we think we are God. So that has to go. So first we have to appreciate his greatness. So the Lord, it's the first appearance showing very greatness. I don't know how big this fish was. It's a very large fish, golden fish. And of course the purpose was to save the Vedas. There was a flood, so the best thing to be in a flood is a fish. So the Lord is very intelligent. Best thing to be when you're looking for something in dirty mud is a pig. So the Lord chooses the right vehicle to appear in, and but even though you see the demons, they see these forms, they can't understand who this, even if they think this is actually Vishnu. Anyway, we're going to kill him. So this is very big demons are like that. But the pastimes are for the ordinary people like us. We're not big demons. We're small demons. That we can recognize how great Krishna is, and he can do exactly what he likes, and he's not affected by it. Otherwise, you'll never know. Unless one surrenders to the process, have faith that Krishna is the complete transcendental living entity, one won't be able to understand. And of course, if he didn't come and show these wonderful pastimes, then it would be difficult to believe. So therefore, Krishna personally comes and shows. He personally comes and shows how he helps the devotees, the righteous, and the way he does it are extraordinary. That incomparable, the way he does it, the way he chooses to do it. Probably we couldn't imagine such things. But this is how the Lord imagines he'll do it, and that's how he does it. Whatever he wants to do cannot be checked. So then we can distinguish, we have to start to distinguish between ourselves and Krishna, that we're actually different. He's not bound like us. He's not conditioned like us. He is actually the controller. He is actually the enjoyer. So when we come to that understanding, which takes quite a while, and it's like this, we're on the eighth canto, and there hasn't been so much about Krishna himself, you know, and the spiritual world that'll evolve in the tenth canto. This is the other cantos are generally, you know, people who are having problems, and how they resolve their problems by surrendering to Krishna, the successful ones. So it takes, it's a gradual process to actually surrender to Krishna, because we didn't actually come in this world to surrender to Krishna. We come into here to be Krishna, or imitate Krishna. So it's difficult, it's a difficult thing to do, to give up that idea. And because the false ego is the first covering, then it's the last thing that we'll be able to be free from. It's the most subtle covering. So first we work on the basic thing of Vaidhi Sadhana, and then we start to control the gross senses, you know, follow four regulative principles, etc. and then gradually we begin to purify the senses by using the senses in the service of Krishna. Even though the motivation may not be pure in the beginning, it may be our self-interest. We're coming for our purification, our rectification, our happiness, to get rid of it, to reduce our problems. So that will be there, of course. But the more we hear about how wonderful Krishna is, how wonderful he acts, what a wonderful person he is, and is the actual best world, which is our best friend. He's doing all this show for our purpose. Otherwise, if he didn't come here and perform these pastimes, we'd have no Bhagavatam, we'd have no deities, nothing to talk about like that. So where would we be? So it's really for our own benefit. It's his love for us, his compassion for us, that he arranges to actually enter into this dark material cosmos and display his actual personality and his pastimes to give us something to hang on to, some reality to some actual direction. So here we have got to keep hearing again and again how the Lord is transcendental and how we're not transcendental, or essentially we're transcendental, but how, because of the misidentification, where the body is actually not transcendental. Here the example, and many examples are given, because we have to hear it in so many different ways, like the air passing through different atmospheres, and it picks up the fragrance of that atmosphere, and that fragrance goes along with the air for some time until it disappears, but the air is not affected. The sky is not affected by these things. So when Krishna passes through, whether he accepts a material, whether it's material or whether it's spiritual, that we can't understand. But he's Srila Prabhupada said he accepts a material form, so because we can't see spirit, so therefore Krishna has kindly agreed to appear in a material form. He said, but we should not think that Radha Gokulananda are made of marble. We can't see spirit, so they've, out of their kindness, they're appearing as something we can see. We can see stone. So okay, we'll appear as stone for your benefit, so you can actually see us and deal with us. But we shouldn't think that they are made of stone, because it's the authorized form of Krishna. Krishna's accepted it, and he can act exactly how he wants. But in our dimensions, we can't appreciate that. We can only see whatever we can see. So whether the Lord appears as a human or a lower animal, he is always transcendental, because he does not, because he is above the material modes of nature. The modes of nature are his energy, so he is unaffected by higher or lower forms. We should always understand he's the same supreme free person in whichever form he accepts, and we should appreciate that all these appearances are very, very wonderful in and of their own. The whole Leela is so wonderful. So Krishna's, even though he comes into this material world, his enjoyment doesn't stop. Wherever he's in, he enjoys being Matsya, he enjoys being Varaha, he enjoys a fight, enjoys being Hiranyakashipu, fighting. So whatever he does, his enjoyment is unimpeded. And when he's in the human form, he just acts exactly as how he acts in the spiritual world. So it gives us a glimpse of what it's like in the spiritual world. So this is our wonderful Lord has coming simply out of kindness, that we can once again give up the idea of trying to enjoy away from him, out of his company, and we can once again reawaken, uncover that loving relationship with Krishna. And once that's done, then we'll be disinterested in the material world. Then the mentality will be suitable, that material energy won't find a suitable body for us here, so then we'll go back to the spiritual world and be with Krishna again in our spiritual body. Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki jai Dai Gopremanandi Hari Hari Bol Hari Krishna.